Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're in a series called The Cloak of Glory. Now, where that came from is the decree from prophetess Jane Hammond. And we've read that many times, and the decree was that we received a double portion mantle, a new mantle for a new season. Come on, someone say, I want a new mantle for a new season. Ready, set, go. I want a new mantle for a... Somebody asked me today, what's the difference between mantle and anointing? Great, great question. When you look at, I believe it's 1 Kings 19, it's the first mention of mantle. It's a coat of hair that would be put over a prophet that indicated that he was a prophet. And we preached on that. This is about the fourth message, I believe, in the series, The Cloak of Glory, or the mantle. And he wore this mantle as an indication of the calling of God. It was an indication of his identity. It was an indication of the power of God. And we talked about that. Talked about who you are. Talked about walking in the power of God. Talking about then the next message about passing on that mantle, passing on the anointing. The anointing and the mantle could be synonymous, meaning the anointing is the God enablement to do God stuff. Now, by the fact that Jesus lives on the inside of you, and you're filled with his spirit, that makes you anointed. Come on, somebody say, I'm anointed. But you all know, as well as I do, that there's levels of anointing that has nothing to do with your good looks or the lack thereof, or whatever you think is good looks or the lack thereof, or your education or the lack thereof. It has everything to do with intimacy with God. And the closer you get with God and understand who you are, there's releasing of his power. And so we talked about the passing of the mantle on to the next generation, because if you don't pass the power of God on to the next generation, you won't have a church. The church won't exist unless these young bucks and does rise up. And we're seeing that, and we're very grateful. And so tonight, 2 Kings chapter 4, if you're all there, say amen and stand upon your feet. Let's read God's word tonight. Here we go. New International Version. Ready? Set? Go. The wife of the man of the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take away my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" I want you to say that. What do you have in your house? And your servant has nothing there at all, she replied, except a small jar of olive oil. And Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him. She shut the door behind her and her sons. She brought the jars to her. She kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." And the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay for your debts, and you and your sons can live on what's left." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, light upon our path. Move in great power right now, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. So we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit being passed from one generation to the next. We're talking about walking in a new mantle for a new season. God wants to put new power on you for a new day. And if America, if Alaska, if you, your family, if me, my family ever needed an increase of God's power, it would be now. And I see what's happening in my own life, what's happening in the church,
is this great increase of favor. It's time for elevation. Would you say that? It's time for elevation. And that is the word of the Lord for 2023. As our senior global pastor, Dr. James Morocco, preached it, it's time for elevation. COVID was an assignment from the pit to try to shut the church up. It had an antichrist spirit mixed with fear, trying to get everybody terrified and running like a scalded dog. And honestly, those who ran, it didn't work out well for the body of Christ, I mean. Some churches diminished, disappeared, and no longer exist, and others who seemed to stand were elevated and moved forward. And for that, it's a bit of a mystery, but I know that we're not of the kind that shrink back. We grew by a third during COVID when they said you couldn't meet. We never stopped. We did our best to hear the word of the Lord. We met in parking lots and preached off of scissor lifts, and we did drive-bys and drive-throughs, and we got back inside and did whatever we could do. And so now God is, I believe, elevating the church, as Dr. Morocco had said, and putting a new mantle. Raise your hand to heaven and say, God, I want some new power for a new season. And so that's what this series is all about. Go ahead and put my Jane Hammond decree up as we've been getting this in our spirit. I want you to read it and with me, and we'll all read it aloud. It was penned by her, and she shared it at our power conference, and it is a powerful decree. You understand what a decree is? A declaration, like the Declaration of Independence, very powerful document that some would try to, well, let's go. Let's read it. We decree, come on, you ready, set, go. We decree today we are crossing over into our new season of breakthrough here at King's. We receive a new mantle for a new day. We're making way for the King of Glory to come here in Wasilla and throughout this state. Leviathan is now under our feet. Resistance is broken and a fresh anointing is here. We decree we are yoke breakers, curse destroyers, because the Holy Ghost lives in us. Souls will be saved. Bodies will be healed. Families will be reconciled. Prodigals will come home. This building will be paid off in record time because of all the financial miracles of the people. We receive our double portion mantle from this point forward. Jesus be glorified in all we do and say. In your name we decree it all. Can you shout to God? Amen. So that started really this series. And if you look at this text, an introduction here, according to your faith may it be done unto you, said Jesus. And if you look in Matthew 9, verse 27, Jesus went there, the two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he had gone indoors, a blind man came to him and asked, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? In other words, heal them. And verse 29 of Matthew 9, Jesus, my hero, my savior, my best friend, he says this. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. If you move into this next season of breakthrough, it'll be according to your faith. You're not going to be able to ride on the coattails of another. Although, I will say, who you hang out with, you will become like. So it's okay to ride on someone's coattails till you grow your own, if I could just say it that way. It's okay to partner with somebody who's stronger. In fact, you should. Who's the one who's mentoring you? Who's your pastor? Who's the one that's discipling you? He said, well, you are. Okay, I hope so. I pray so. There's great leaders, tremendous leaders. I heard this illustration. It's hysterical to me. They said, well, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. That's stupid. Let me give you a good illustration why. You go to the gym, let's say. Would you go to the gym and then say, I can't believe there's people here who are out of shape? Can you believe all these people here, they're out of shape, trying to lose weight, get in shape? What? Yet at the same time at the gym, you'll see people that are in phenomenal shape and maybe a little bit too focused on that. And you'll see people every shape, every size. How many of you know if you're trying to get in shape, it's a good thing to work out. Eat right, right? Where else should hypocrites go? Church, you should go to church. Why? But listen, here there's people that are strong, people that are anointed, people that walk in character and integrity. I'm not a hypocrite, and I know hundreds of others that are not hypocrites. So a hypocrite ought to come to church so he can get delivered. Can you say amen?
Amen.
According to your faith, let it be done unto you. This text is so profound. This widow, the widow of a prophet, they've been in full-time ministry. Here they are. They're in full-time ministry, and the man dies. And she has this tremendous need. She comes to Elijah. And I want to say this, that, you know, the love of God is powerful, but if you don't have the anointing, it's frustrating. I'm going to come over here and say that. Let me define it. The love of God is powerful. You moved with compassion to see someone who needs help, but it sure is a frustrating thing if you have no power to change it. And here what we believe from the Word of God, according to the Word of God, and what has been demonstrated in our own individual lives and the lives of so many others, is that the love of God is a primary thing, but the power of God changes things. The love of God releases the power of God. Your hands are not tied. Can you imagine if the prophet's like, well, guess you should have watched those Dave Ramsey videos a little bit more. Should have been a better steward of your finances. You're up a creek now. She reminds Elijah that her husband served the Lord and he died in debt. And the creditor, she's going to, come on, how hard is that? Going through loss, going through grief, her husband's dead and now you're going to lose your two sons. I mean, that's a difficult scenario. One that we don't have to face. Aren't you glad they don't come and take your children if you get in debt? Amen. And Elijah doesn't criticize her. She doesn't say, I told you. He doesn't point his finger at you and say, were you tithing? He doesn't say, you don't hear any of that. He doesn't get after her. You know, I've seen so many people that are be like, oh, he should have been. They totally criticize somebody because they're in difficulty. They're in painful situation. Stop. For the grace of God, go I. Be the answer, don't be a criticizer. Amen. Monday morning quarterbacks. It's like here at the church, I've had people say, hey, how come you use carpet? I thought, oh, stop. You ought to thank God we're in a building. And I can't believe there's paint on the walls over there. That's the wrong color. How come there's no baseboard? Just get your checkbook out. How come the seats are gray? Who picked those? Who picked the colors? Shven Shui, you can talk to him. The Chinese decorator, Shven. It's a hysterical joke. Because everybody has an opinion of it. Shouldn't have been gray. It's too dark. It's too light. It's too cold. It's too hot. Should have watched Dave Ramsey movies, videos. Should have done the envelope. You didn't do the envelope method, did you? Which your grandmother did. Your grandmother showed you the envelope method. You didn't use the envelope. Now you're in trouble. It's none of that. She just needs a miracle. I'm not knocking that all together. I'm just saying. And we do need to be good stewards. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
All right. But he doesn't get after her that. And all, you know, they blew it. They obviously, maybe they mishandled their money. Who knows what happened? Elijah asks, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? Is that fascinating to me? And she doesn't think she has anything. She has nothing. I have nothing. Well, I have a jar of oil. So she has something, but she thinks it's nothing. Oh, if you could hear what I'm about to teach and preach to you right now, if you could just hear it. Tommy Barnett preached a message called The Miracle Is in the House. It is one of the, how many of you know who Tommy Barnett is? Tommy Barnett is one of my heroes. And I've only been in one of his services, went live, and I've listened to many others. And he has go find it on YouTube, Miracle in the House. You will be standing on your feet, losing your ever-loving mind, releasing faith for miracles. Because you don't think that you have it. You don't think you have what you need. You have all you need for a miracle tonight. Right here, right now, in your home, in your, you said, Pastor, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You look at Moses, he had a shepherd's rod in his hand, but when it was in the hand of God, it was turned into the rod of God. David with a rock sank it into the head of the uncircumcised fathead, Philistine. What do you have in your house? Sometimes we don't think we have much, but if you can muster faith and begin to release what you do have, then you will see miracle power put on display in your home, in your family, with your children, with your finances, in all that you do. Come on, somebody say, there's a miracle in the house. Come on, say, there's a miracle in my house. Jesus nails in his hands salvation for the whole world. It really just depends on whose hands it's in. And Elijah gives these specific instructions from the text. Go collect empty jars. You know, there are some people who just, it's dangerous to feel like you have it all. I remember Dr. Morocco came back from a conference Schuller was one of the speakers. He built the Crystal Cathedral. He's gone on to be with the Lord. How many of you have heard of Schuller? I'm trying to remember his first name. Robert Schuller, thank you. And it didn't go so well in the transition. I think with his son, they ended up selling it to the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church owns it, and I think they tried to buy it back. But the Crystal Cathedral is this amazing building. And Robert Schuller talked to Dr. Morocco, was sharing with him. He said, you know, it's a dangerous thing when you get to a place of success and elevation, and you get to a place where you're maybe older and you've achieved some things because there's more to lose. If you ever lose that, the risk, if you ever lose that edgy faith, you've lost. And there's, God calls us to bring to him whatever. If you ever don't see yourself as an empty jar, I said to Minister Vicky, I said, can you handle it? Can you handle what God's gonna do? She's like, yes. I'm like, okay, stay humble. And I was talking to myself, stay humble, broken, and transparent. If you do that, if you stay humble, broken, and transparent, God will always use you. Humble, broken, transparent. Say it. Humble, broken. But the moment you think that you've arrived with three Coca-Colas and a six-pack of... and the moment you think you arrived, three bags of chip and a Coca-Cola. Coke Zero. The moment you think that you've got it, you lose desperation. Don't ever lose your desperation for God. Don't ever lose. You can go higher and higher in God unless you settle. And it's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place to be. Go collect empty jars. God's looking for empty vessels to put oil in. I said, God's looking for empty vessels to put oil in. Some of you have your vessels filled with all kinds of stuff. Come on, Jesus. We want to be filled afresh. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And vessels, a picture of... certainly could be a picture for your life. Don't just ask for a few. Don't just ask for a few. What's fascinating to me is if she didn't know her neighbors and she didn't have the boldness. Do you have a wallet, Pastor Gil? Can I have it? Thanks. Awesome. Appreciate that. If you don't have a, but it's a nice wallet, by the way. If you don't have the boldness to ask, I mean, obviously, I'm going to give him his wallet back. My point is, if you don't have the boldness to ask, the boldness to pray, then how are you going to see fresh oil? She had to go. She had to humble herself. She had to have relationship with people to say, can I, do you have any vessels? She had to ask for vessels. You know, we need people. Amen. It's some of the darkest hours of the battle for this building, and there were dark hours. In the darkest hours of COVID, where we didn't really know what it was. Double pneumonia for me. Didn't want to go to the hospital. I was pretty sure I'd go to heaven if I went there, so I was doing everything I can. I was praying. If you were part of the church, you were praying for me. We told everybody. We didn't hold anything back. We prayed. I called everybody I knew that prayed. I didn't call anybody that didn't pray. I've got some people that don't pray. I called every single person I know can move heaven. I know I called on every single person I know. I'll never forget you, Vic, walking in my yard. I'll never forget you and others that came. I look outside my window, so weak, so sick. Pain all over. My lungs gurgling. I look out my window, there's Vic. You need people like that. You need your neighbor. We need each other. We need each other. You need your neighbor. If you don't know your neighbor, I mean, come on. How are you gonna bless your neighbor if you don't know him? You gotta know your neighbor. You gotta get to know people. We need each other. Come on, bump your person next to you and say, I need you. I mean, who are you going to lean on when times get difficult? Who are you going to talk to when you don't know how to make it? Who's the person in your life that has more oil than you, more wisdom than you? We all need that person. Who are you going to lean on? Lean on me. All right. Relationship wealth. Some of you have relationship poor because you're so mean and you don't keep your word and you borrow stuff and don't return it. That's called Christian borrowing, but it's really also called thieving and stealing. You don't keep your word. You don't show up on time. You don't follow through. And you wonder why people don't lean on you, count on you. You need some character. If you don't have character to carry the oil, if you don't have character to carry the anointing, then you're going to kill yourself. If God puts a whole bunch of oil on you and you don't have the character to carry it, it'll destroy you. Shut the door. Look at that. Shut the door. There comes a time. And why shut the door? Go get the vessels and shut the door. Why? If you do a study on shutting the door, open door in the book of Revelation, shutting doors, Jesus, when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, what did he do? He went in and he kicked out the mocker, he kicked out the scoffer, and then he shut the door. And I've found that when God's going to do something great, the mocker and the scoffer are somehow removed. And the door gets shut to your prayer closet, for instance. You got to shut the door to unbelief. You got to shut the door to doubt. You got to shut the door to the devil. Some of you need to shut the door to people who are just, they're like hitchhikers on you. Maybe you're financially in the red. Shut the door, get in a prayer meeting, and get the answer. I don't know what happened to me. It happened years ago, and I don't know why I have to be pressed sometimes to the point of intense spiritual violence, but I do. I don't know. I'm kind of generally that way, but then there comes a time when, like, if God doesn't show up, then you lose everything. Anybody else been in that position besides me? Right. Church was in that position. I just didn't tell everybody about that because some people would freak out, and like rats jumping off a ship, they would jump. We faced many challenges where it was almost, it was God take his hands off of, it's over. But here we are. Oh, and it's like, come on, this is just a little building. But it was a real stretch of faith for us. And I've had times when I didn't know how I was gonna make it in my own personal life. And I don't know if you've ever shut the door. I was talking to somebody who was having a marital problem. And I talked to them about fasting, which they never heard. never heard about fasting, so they weren't a part of this house. Obviously, we fast and pray. They went to another church, and there's a lot of great churches out there, but fasting is a real weapon. You need to learn to fast and pray. If you have something that doesn't move, fast and pray. It will move. It will move, or God will move you, or God will do something. And when you get to those places where you don't know how to make it, where you don't know what to do, we have never made a mistake when we fasted and prayed on major decisions. I've made lots of mistakes. I try not to make them every day. But when I fast and pray about major decisions, never made a mistake. When I make a major decision, I don't fast and pray. Yes, Lord. Yes. Never made a mistake. Just make sure you keep fasting and praying for large decisions. You can fast and pray over everything. And I remember going into a place where if God didn't show up, it was going to be great, you know, embarrassment for me, my wife. It seems like small potatoes now. Because as you grow in God, He'll expand your capacity. I shut the door. It was in Kula. I shut the door and set my face to pray. I was not going to come out. I wasn't doing anything else until God came and did whatever He was going to do. But my prayer honestly was like, you can kill me and take me home, but I ain't leaving till you show up and do what I need. God, you got to do something right now. It really doesn't take much time if you get resolve like that. When you mean it, you can't be faking it. You know, you get there, you're like, you know what, I'm tired, I want to get a pizza. Then you go and you get the pizza and you go home. No, I'm talking about a resolve where you shut the door behind you. You maybe tell your wife, honey, I'm taking this jug of oil. I'll be out maybe to use the bathroom and get more water. I ain't coming out because our kid's on drugs, and I'm not coming out until he comes out. I'm not coming out. That kind of resolve. And most people never step in like that because we have all this first world resources. When death is on the line, it's very different. She shut the door. You got to shut the door in unbelief and fear. You got to shut the door in the doctor's report. Amen. You're fine. Amen. Be fine. Amen. Shut the door. Shut the door on unbelief. Shut the door on fear. Well, I just know somebody was in the same situation. You know, they got deported. Well, that's not you. Amen. Come on, all the illegal immigrants said, amen. Shut the door on unbelief. Shut the door on fear. Shut the door on the doctor's report. Shut the door to the outside. Some people need to be kept outside of your miracle or you're never going to have one. Get them out of your life. You're connected. Some people are connected to people. Listen, I love everybody. We fellowship with all. We partner with some. But we build our lives on sons and daughters. We don't build on anything else. Why? Because a son or a daughter will never shank you. Not a real one. You know what shank is? A prison word for stabbing. In 2 Kings chapter 4, 8 and 36. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Everybody say, shut the door.
Shut the door.
Another great text there, shutting the door. And pour oil into the jars. That to me is a picture of being filled. It's a picture of not only being filled, but allowing God to fill every part of my life and to fill every circumstances in my life. Come on, lift your hands and say, miracles in the house. But you notice none of it happens without God, and that's why I called the sermon collabs with God. Collabs is a cute influencer term for collaboration. Collaborating with God. She obeyed. She what? She obeyed. Imagine that. You will make it. You will be more than a conqueror. You'll overcome. He'll provide for you. He'll bring you through the trial. He'll bring you. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? You die? You get rewarded. I am not afraid of death. If you're afraid of death, you gotta go a little deeper in God. I mean, what are you gonna do if COVID kills you? Rejoice on streets of gold with those who've gone before me. What are you talking about? But I have some promises, like he was gonna fulfill some things in my life. I've got visions, I've got dreams. Maybe some of them will be in the millennial reign. You're not gonna have a diaper and a gold harp where you just prance around heaven. Pring, pring, wee. No, you rule and reign with him. I mean, come on. So maybe some of those dreams, maybe some of those visions are for the millennial reign. I mean, I don't know. But I'm going to contend for everything that God has for me, and there's many times where he wants me to shut up, which is shutting the door, and to obey. Just, son, obey. Obey me. I must tell the story in veiled terms because it's all still unfolding now. Had a dream, and in my dream, I saw on particular office and people I had to meet with, and the Lord in that meeting showed me how to have a victory. It was a dream. So in the dream, things weren't going to go well in the natural, but I had this dream, and in my dream I shared my testimony with someone there in a back room, and I shared that testimony, and the power of God came down. Person was touched. We went out of that back room into the regular meeting that they planned on having. And we had the meeting and everything changed. And supernatural favor was released. And I'm still seeing the results of that. I will never forget going into the room the next day. So I had the dream at night. Next day, I walk into the room. It is my dream. It is the dream I had the night before. And I'm in shock. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, pinch me. Is this happening right now? And I meet everybody, it's the exact dream, and it comes this moment in the dream where I am gonna share my story, but now it's real life. And so there I am, time sort of freezes, I'm like, it's my dream. I'm like, everybody sort of freezes in the room, and the Lord says, son, do the dream. I'm like, okay. Okay, so at that time, I could have said, no, I don't want to be embarrassed. Oh, what will they think of me? No, I'm just going to obey. And I obeyed, and I'm going to tell you, we're sitting here right now because of that. Things would have been very much delayed. How do you think how are you going to move forward in life? You think it's just going to happen? You think the devil's just going to quit, turn heel, and bug somebody else? Let your giants prophesy to you. When you face a big giant, there's a reason. And it's because of the harvest. Keep your eye on the harvest. Keep your eye on souls. Double up visiting. Double up your prayer. Double up your preaching. Start another service. Punch a thing in the throat. You need an all-night prayer meeting. You just got to, how's that building going to come? How's that going to come? Do you think, oh, it's the Nantes and Kings are here. I guess we ought to quit and just go pick on Juno.
Amen.
We're going to do Juno too. Get a crazy, crazy plan. Pull the trigger.
Amen.
It's all about souls. Don't ever lose track of that. Sure ain't about buildings. And it definitely isn't about money. Money's a tool. It's about souls. Everybody say that. It's about souls. These two sons were going to be in ministry, not slaves. How many people are slaves today, tonight, to the ravages of the demonic because maybe we haven't obeyed? What would have happened to Peter? Peter, I prayed for your faith that your faith might not fail. Where are the Peters? There's Peters out there that failed because there wasn't a prayer meeting that prayed for them. She obeyed. Come on, it's so simple. Dr. Yonggi Cho said this, we pray, we obey. That is how he built the largest church in the world, pray and obey. It's about soul. Say it, pray and obey. Do what? Pray and obey. It really is that simple, and it's quite fun. It's a marvelous adventure.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus.
Don't close up on my lips because I do weird things when I sing baritone.
You must trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You must trust and obey.
Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, I'm going to obey him. I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey him.
The oil stopped flowing when the jars were filled, and that's a fascinating thing. You can limit God or you can release his power, and it's totally up to you. You can shut down the power of God or you can release the power of God. Lack of honor without honor, a prophet's without honor in his hometown. Jesus could do no mighty miracles there except heal a few sick people. But where there's honor, there's a release of life. Where there's dishonor is a release of death. Honor your father and mother, have a long life. What kind of a life? Long life. Dishonor mom and dad, shorten your lifespan. Honor releases God's power. And it's a picture here where there was just nothing else to be filled. And Elijah told her to go. She basically became, this house became an oil derrick, an oil well. Paid all her debts. All right. Worship team, come on. First thing, an application here tonight, is you got to come to the Lord and realize he's worth our relationship with him. She had a relationship with the prophet. If she didn't have a relationship with the prophet, she wouldn't have got any miracle. The boys had gone off to slavery, and she'd have died a widow. I mean, I don't know whatever the worst case scenario would be, but you've got to value your relationship with God far above all else, but you also must value your relationship with people. But there's going to be people that don't like you. I humorously say that statistically there's only two or three people that like you anyway, so you should just obey God and let the chips fall where they may. I can't believe you're going to that church. I can't believe you tithe. I can't believe you pray. Oh, you're a little extra. You're a little, extra. Well, let's take a look 10 years from now, see where we're all at. I've lived a while. I've had people say, you just need to calm down. Just calm down. You're in the honeymoon stage right now. Just calm down, honey. Calm down. I'm like, okay, I don't want to. And I realized the honeymoon never ends. It doesn't ever have to. You don't ever have to calm down. Don't ever apologize for being on fire. Don't ever apologize for being bold. I mean, you should be gracious and kind and compassionate. Don't be rude. Be filled with the love of God. But don't apologize. We were out to dinner just recently, and my wife is filled with compassion and mercy. I need some help sometimes. And we were talking to the waiter who's saying that he goes to a church. It's not our church, goes to church somewhere. Remain nameless. And he's telling me he goes to church and it wasn't in Wasilla. Okay, so there you go, it's Anchorage. And we're talking back and forth and laughing about different things. I said, well, if you're ever out in the Wasilla, just come and join us. We'd love to have you. He said, it's too far out there. Then we only go out there to we go out there and then my wife drinks with her friends and she gets all drunk and everything every go out there. And I'm like, what? So you go to church. Oh yeah, she goes to church too. I said, okay, wait. So we're at a table. I said, so wait, you go to church and get drunk? Yeah, oh yeah. Uh-huh. I'm like, and Karen's like, okay. Because I was just going to get all up in that. Because you know why? because they're in deep bondage and don't understand that there's something far more than wine or whiskey or single malts or cigars. There's something far more than the intoxication of this world or the love of a man or the love of a woman. There's something far more than having a big fat bank account and a brand new sled. Twin turbo, 1,000 horse. There's something greater than a brand new gun. There's something greater than a brand new car. His name is Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit working through you, moving through you. And I'm telling you, you couldn't get me to go back to the old life. No way. There ain't no way. There's no way. Why would I do that? My God, death, destruction. People drink because they got something to drink about. People party because they're hurting, they're broken. Until they get set free, their jars are filled with stuff. You got to get empty, you got to get desperate, you got to get hungry, and that's what happens, really. When you come to Him, you got to value your relationship with Him. It's worth, your relationship with God is worth it. You were created for Him. You were created for fellowship with God. You're created for intimacy with Him, and intimacy with another will never satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. Intimacy with anything else will never satisfy you. Provision came as they obeyed the word of the Lord. Provision came as they obeyed. Didn't make any sense. Didn't make sense to Jericho. Didn't make sense for Joshua and Jericho. Didn't make sense. You look at all the patriarchs. Look at them. Look at the different things that they did. Look at the biblical stories. And then just take some real life examples. People that have done great things over the generations. People that have made a mark. It doesn't make sense to do some of the things they did. And the reason many people don't walk in a new double portion mantle is that's why they walk according to sense. They walk according to sight. They walk according to their senses. They don't walk according to faith, confident assurance of what you cannot see. You know what faith is? Faith is obeying God's word. That's what faith is. Obey God's word. And so many people don't see it, so they don't believe it. The oil poured to the limit, they imposed on God. I put that there on purpose, imposed. It could have gone a little, Junior should have gone down the road a little bit more. Should have, dude. I purchased, in simplistic terms, I've got my house, I think it's 12 years ago plus, the land. Behind me, I had the right of first refusal for 3.5 acres behind me, 12 plus years ago. And I remember I'd wake up and, man, I wanted that land, but I didn't have faith. That's crazy. I had faith for the church, but I didn't have faith for me personally. I just looked at my own, and I was like, oh, God, would you give me faith? And I said, Lord, give me faith. God, help me. And then these moments would come where I'd feel like the Lord says, go. And do it. And I'd be like, okay. And then I'd get distracted, and then things would happen. And do you know what ended up happening? I lost the land. It was offered to me. I was in this place of just couldn't pull it together. I didn't have faith. I didn't have faith to go down the road or believe God. And so the land sold. And so now I don't beat myself up over it anymore, but there was a while where I'd wake up in the morning, I mean, like, every other week, I'd be on my porch, like, there's the land you could have had. Jesus, help me, God. It ain't over yet. But I imposed a limit through my faith. What is God going to do through you? What can God do through you? Anything. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. But you need to go down the road a little further. You need to stretch out your cords. You need to go get another vessel. What does that mean? Well, what it means, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, what does that mean? It means maybe praying more, maybe fasting more, maybe giving more, maybe sacrificially serving in some capacity. It means taking the next step of faith and believing God. We will see increase and elevation come. How? By the Spirit of God, if we obey. George Robert Schuller, again, to Dr. Morocco. He said, I've got to stay on the cutting edge of faith. Dr. Morocco came back. He taught that to us. This was years ago. He taught it to us. And he said, we must continue to obey God at every front. I think we were believing for 12 churches or something back then. 12. 12. There's 630 something. 12. The 12, 12, 12 vision. Not even all that long ago. And God did that. And I'll never forget what Dr. Morocco said. He said this to me. He said, Daniel, if we don't obey God, then there's no promise that you'll keep what God has given us. It all belongs to God. And if you don't keep taking steps of faith, there's no promise that you'll be able to continue to walk in what you have right now. You understand what I'm saying? So God calls you to move forward and you're like, I don't want to. Well, if you don't move forward, what you're walking in now is a result of your faith. But if you back off, there's no promise of what the territory that you've taken, you'll be able to keep. Amen. You understand? It's all about obeying. The story again with Dr. Morocco, going off to Molokai. God called him to go to Molokai. He sent other people and finally he obeyed. I told you to go. He goes. He brings his little ukulele. Goes from a church of 1,000 people to Molokai with like 5 people that don't listen to you, playing a ukulele. And he just said, Lord, this is like, I can't do this, Lord. He's like, no, this is a church you would have had unless I breathed on you. Now I'll keep obeying. He obeyed today. There's 3 or 4 extensions in Molokai and 10% of the island in our church. I pastored there for 1.5 years. There's no limit on God except you. You can limit it. You can impose limits on God. Can you? How? No man has reached up to receive all that he has to offer. Oh, I wanna be used by God. Come on, he redeemed us. He saved us. He washed us. He cleansed us. Don't limit God. Some of you have a chokehold on. Take the chokehold off. Can you say amen? And everything you give to God, he will multiply. Everything you give to God, he will multiply. God desires to collab with us. That's right. God desires collaboration. Lift your hands to heaven. Where are you in your walk with God? Where are you in your walk with God? There's a number of people here, you're going through sorrow and regret because you didn't buy the land. You didn't have faith to buy it. Now you think it's just too late. It's not too late. There are moments of going into the promised land that you can forfeit that and then it has to go to another generation. There are moments of kairos where time and destiny cross and you can miss it. And God knows, I believe I've missed some of those times. But don't miss the season we're in now. Don't miss the season we're in. It's time. It's time for a double portion. It's time for increase.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.